Okay, we're reading, We're reading from Hebrews 3, 7 through 13. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said they would always go astray in their heart. They shall not enter, they have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
ヘルビビトの手紙3章の7節から13節を読みます。ですから聖霊が言われる通りです。今日もしも御声を聞くならば、荒野での試みの日に大怒りを引き起こした時のように、心を固くなにしてはならない。あなた方の祖父たちはそこで私を試みて証拠を求め、40年の間私の技を見た。だから私はその時代を生き取っていった。彼らは常に心が迷い、私の道を悟らなかった。私は怒りも持って誓ったように、決して彼らを私の安息に入らせなかった。兄弟たち、あなた方の中では誰も悪い不信仰の心になって生きる神から離れるものがないように気をつけなさい。今日と言われている間に日々互いに励まし合って、誰も罪に惑わされて固くなにならないようにしなさい。
Thank you very much. I really do want to say the song service was so good today. Thank you for your time and your practicing and all of that. It sure has paid off. So let me share with you what happened to me today on my way to the service. This is not a huge deal. Don't get excited. It's not going to be like a deep revelation. But on the way to today, to this gathering, I was talking to my wife, and I said to her, where else could we go in the world to have this kind of a gathering? And I reflected on my time at work. Sometimes there was tension at work. There were times when, for I don't know why this happened, but doing painting, house painting, commercial painting, another painter took a dislike toward me. Now, I looked like a nice guy, right? Nice and calm and pleasant, you know. And he would give me the meanest stares. And I remember that I didn't do the right thing with him. I rebelled against that. I mean, I stood on my ground. I was not going to let that guy. What's he doing that for? So I was not a nice guy either. And so he and I were going after him. Another painter came to me and said, that guy wants to fight you. Well, then I got scared because I'm not in for a fight, you know. I said, I'm in for a stare down and, you know, gritting our teeth and a push here and there, but not a fight. I said, that'd be kind of weird. Two painters fighting in the middle of the street. There was tension at work. So that's not a place that you can have what we have here. Then you can pick any other place. Maybe there's tension in school with grades and tests and papers to write. I've been there. I know what that's like. I know what it's like 2 days before a paper is due. That's a long one, like 10 pages. And it has to have footnotes and all of that. And then finally, I'm getting to it. And I'm panicking. And I'm trying to get to it and typing. And so there was tension in school. And you can take that to anywhere in life that you want to. And any place that there's people, there's going to be problems. There's going to be tension. So what I want to say to you, and this I believe is from the Lord, but I want to say to you that in essence, you could give yourself a pat on the back because you have come here in unity with one purpose in mind. That's why you're here today. And no matter what it is that you've come for, it's going to all boil down to one reason, and that is to get closer to Jesus. So this room, see, this is glorifying the Lord right now. This room has unity. All right? Now, we have a lot of different thoughts. I guarantee you, the closer we get to lunch, some of you are going to be thinking about lunch. And I have no way to control that. There's been a time when I have preached as loud as I can and as much fire as I could. And the guy sitting about right where you're sitting was sound asleep. And I thought, how can this guy be sleeping? So I decided during my sermon that I was going to wake him up. So I just kind of walked over there and I put my hand on his shoulder. I know that's mean, isn't it? And he kind of went, like, oh, and he, like, where am I? And I thought, okay, I shouldn't really do that the next time. But I said, how can somebody be sleeping? Well, apparently he liked it enough to go to sleep. But I'm not the only preacher in history that makes someone go to sleep. Do you know that? You know another guy who made somebody go to sleep one day during his sermon? Paul the Apostle. There was a kid sitting at the, they were in the second story, and this kid is listening to Paul, and he's getting sleepy, and he goes to sleep, and he falls out of the window, lands on the ground, and is killed. And so Paul rushes down, raises him up from the dead. Pretty interesting. Now, for me, that would have been the biggest amen on my sermon. That would have been it right there. I would have, you know what, I cannot top raising somebody from the dead. I think I'm all done. But Paul went right back to where he left off. And, you know, it's like saying, okay, really, Paul? This is 3 hours long. But this young man, literally, it just went to sleep. Now, I could understand, you know, it was dragging on. But anyway, so we have no control over what you're thinking, okay? But you have come into one place. You've gathered together. You've united together in one thing in mind. I'm going to come closer to Jesus. I want to. Whether that was your ultimate purpose or not, that is what's happening right now. And I feel the Lord saying in a pleasing kind of way, like He's smiling down upon us. Because we're not in here fighting one another. Nobody in this room has given me a stare like they want to fight me. And after church today, I'm going to fight that guy. And then I would be, you know, oh, you're not going to fight me. And then we'd be back and forth. Well, that's not Christian love. But so what we're demonstrating, we're showing you Christian love. And that's going to tie into my sermon here in a moment. So, amen. Alrighty. And I like that. What other place will this happen? You can't have it anywhere else. Oh, by the way, and this has happened a lot. So in church history, out through the ages, there have been churches that were so divided on issues that they would be divided where they sat in the church. One side is here on their issue, and the other side is over there on their issues. And for some reason, the two sides just can't seem to come together. You say, can that really happen? Yes, it can. So we have to always be mindful of living at peace with one another, proclaiming who Jesus is, being united together. Maybe we don't like this about the service or that about the service or whatever it might be. There's always going to be something. But we lay those things aside because we've gathered in the name of Jesus. I'm really hitting this home with you. I want to make it real to you. We've come together, and this is no other place in this world that we're going to find this kind of fellowship. So honor this moment and bring yourself in a place saying, yay, I'm together one another with people. We've got people here from China and, of course, Japan and where else? Call out some other countries. I know Vietnam, I think. Indonesia? Vietnam.
Indonesia,
there you are. Yeah.
Chicago.
Yes, it's a foreign country to all of us. And by the way, here we are enjoying, 80 degree weather? The other day, the Chicago airports were closed down because of snow and ice. So, you should have said, yeah, I'm here in Tucson. All right. I want to talk to you guys today. I want to be positive in my message. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off with the negative. Because I'm going to move it into the positive. I think what happens to us is we live in such a negative world that everything with us begins to be negative. And Jesus, by the way, was very positive and very upbeat. And he spoke words of life, and he spoke words that were helpful. He spoke words that would take somebody from where they were and lift them out of that place. He took the lady, the woman at the well, and he made her life better. He said, "You doesn't matter how many husbands you have, doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that you would drink of the living water." And she received that message. And you could go on with the woman that was caught in the act of adultery and go through that whole scenario. Or you could go with a man named Matthew, who was a tax collector, a Jewish guy living in the Roman, in a Roman world, collecting taxes from his own people. You talk about a guy that betrayed his own fellow man, all right? Collecting taxes. Anybody that's a tax collector is not going to be your friend. I'm hoping this year when I do my taxes, I want to see a plus on that bottom line. And I say, I want to see a plus, or I'm going to fight my computer. I better see a plus. Amen. So too often we hear negative things coming at us from so many different directions. And I mentioned this already, but workers may have negative things to say about their boss. It goes on all day long. And I know you know it to be true. But something happens in us. Something takes place that we don't realize when we hear nothing but negativity. I came from a very negative family. It's just the way it was. I have no, I wasn't, you know, asked to where I was going to be born and what family. My dad was just negative. And my wife can verify that. But the thing is this, when I came into Christianity, that came with me. That's part of my luggage, or my baggage, I should say, that came with me into Christianity. So I had to learn how to teach this mind not to be so negative. And my wife, I think it was her mother, said, "Don't be, what was it, Julie? Don't feel too good. Don't be too happy." Right? Because bad is going to happen tomorrow. It's like the guy that got healed of his blind eyes, right? And we have some people around who are negative, says, "Well, just wait a few days, you'll be blind again, you know. So don't get too happy right now." And you think that's silly, but that is the way the world has taught us. And it bombards us from every end. So we have negativity that comes at us. We don't know what to do with it. So I want to be today Mr. Positive, okay? So my role up here is called Mr. Positive. But first, I have to mention the five negatives found in the scripture that we just read. And I had to really wrestle through this because I said, wait a minute, if I'm getting this out of the Bible, do I have the right then to make it into a positive message, if you know where I'm coming from? Because we believe the Bible to be the infallible Word of God. That means without error in its original translation. But I'm going to do it because I feel like I have a positive message on the back end of that. So today, I am known as Mr. Positive, but first, I'm going to name to you the five negatives found in your Hebrews chapter 3 text. Number one, do not harden your hearts. That's the first one. That was there, right? You remember reading that. As in the day of temptation. I'm just giving you the highlight. Number two, do not rebel against God. Number three, do not test the Lord. Sounds like I'm echoing. Do not treat, this is number four, do not treat God's patience like it will last forever. Now that one sort of has a negative connotation to it, even when you bring it into the positive. So you just have to bear with me. This is not a perfect sermon. Do not anger God. Do not anger God. Do not treat like His patience will last forever. Do not anger God. Now what do we do with that? How do we handle this? How does Mr. Positive, that would be me, make out a sermon for you today or a message that will be uplifting? Well, here are the five areas, and this won't take long, believe me. Number one, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Anna, would you look up James chapter 4, verse 10? And part of that is another verse. It says to, now humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. What does that mean? Does that mean that you're falling down all the time in God's presence? Does it mean that you're going flat on the ground with your hands out like that all the time? I do not believe that's what it means. I believe it's an attitude of the heart. Humble yourself before the Lord. Anna, you have that scripture? Just so you can hear it from the Bible.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up.
And He will lift you up. When you're down, and you want to complain, and you want to become hardened against God, the remedy for that, the antidote, by the way, wonderful word there, the antidote is to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humbleness is not weakness. Did you get that? Jesus was humble, but He was never weak. Now, you have to take that for what it's worth today, but you have to remember that when Jesus got into a situation where they were selling things in this courtyard just before the temple, it's the day of Passover, and all these animals are there, the poor people are trying to buy a turtle dove or a little pigeon, the others that have more money, they have a lamb that they purchased, the lambs were without blemish, they're spotless, and all this money is going through hands, and they're what are they doing there? It's like anybody at any time who has their mind on money, they jacked up the prices. And they were taking advantage of the people. And Jesus said, He turns those tables over. Remember that? Humble Jesus now, right? Humble Jesus. Turns those tables over, and He said, You've made my Father's house, which is supposed to be a house of prayer, you've made it into a place of just cheating and taking advantage and taking all the money you can. In other words, He was humble, but He wasn't weak. Okay? That's very important. So, with that in mind, two thoughts with that one there. Another scripture. This is to help you now not to harden your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, your mind, strength, and might. Would I get a volunteer, someone to read Luke chapter 10, verse 27? I need a volunteer. And nice big hands going up all over the place. Everybody's wanting to read. Oh, Nate, would you read that for us, please? That would be Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Let me know when you're there, Nate, because I want the people to hear this. This would be Luke 10, 27.
He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself."
Okay. Now when Jesus gave that command, remember the whole situation was talking about loving the Lord. The command to love the Lord. Now if we have a humble heart, your desire is going to be to come closer to God and to learn what it means to love the Lord with everything you have. Your mind, which is also connected, basically the word mind and soul are directly related in the Greek text. Okay, so they both deal with your emotions, your will, your desire, and the things that you do. Okay, so that's the connection that might define for you today about the soul. We talk about the soul, it's different than the spirit. But Jesus wants us and tells us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. That's our innermost being. To love the Lord with all of our soul, our mind, our strength, and our might. And that is what the Lord wants us to do. Now I need somebody to read John chapter 6, verse 63. Let me see. I have another reader. Julie, you're looking like you want to do it. Formerly known as my husband, of which now is my wife. Just kidding. All right. So that would be John 6, 63.
Okay. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life.
Okay. In other words, where are we dwelling right now? This realm that we live in is called a spirit world with Jesus. We can't see Him. I have never had an encounter with God where I can say that I had a vision of Jesus. The vision that John sees of Jesus is a lot different than the Jesus that we talk about even after the resurrection. And so when you read that in the first chapter of John, this being with a thunderous voice and shiny and this look upon Him like gold, and His feet were like brass and all of that. That's an amazing picture of Jesus. And He tells us, basically, that the words that He said, they bring life. Now we're already alive right now, so how's that working? What's going on here? Wait a minute, I'm not dead, I'm alive, I hear every word you're saying. So Jesus was talking in a spiritual sense. I hope you're getting this, because this will change the word here. He says, do not harden your heart. Through the love of God, we are going to have a very soft and tender heart before God. That's the heart of flesh that they talked about out of the Old Testament that's brought into the New Testament through Jesus. Okay, all right then. I entitled that one, to feed the spirit on the inside of you. The way that you feed your spirit is just like you do with your physical body. You've got to take some kind of food. We call it the Bible. All right? Faith comes by hearing. Anybody want to finish that verse for me? And hearing by the word of God. You know what the Greek really says right there? We can't translate that into English. We just don't have a word in our vocabulary to properly translate that. So here's what we do, and the best that we can do with our English grammar. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. That's what it means. Go on and on. It's a verb in the Greek that we don't have in the English. It means that this is not something you do once. My daughter, I have to talk about Eva a little bit. She's not here, so I can talk about her. But we have to laugh at her. She said, we talked about trials and tribulations. And then her remark to us has always been, I've already gone through that trial. I've already proved the Lord. I'm willing to move and da-da-da, go here wherever God sends me. And so my remark back to her is, like, do you wash your dishes just once and that's it for your lifetime? You know, I've already washed those dishes once. No, you're going to do it often, right? Or they're going to pile up. And then it's going to be a lot of work. So, in other words, we are going to feed off of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing it. And getting it into, it'll get in there eventually, believe me. Even if you just listen to it, but you're not really listening to it, like you're really not paying that close attention, have it on a little bit. When you want to listen to a song or whatever, put the Word of God on, if you have it on your phone, and just listen to it for a while. It will change your life. So that's how faith comes. So that's what we do. We want to feed the Spirit, man. I got to move now to the rest of these. So, here we go into the next one. Remember we said, humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. I'm going to just give you the scripture context here, or the actual scripture if you want to copy it down. Submit yourself to the Lord. We submit ourselves to Him. We let loose. We submit to Jesus. We let loose and we submit. That is a word that has a wonderful meaning behind it. That means you take away all the barriers. Everything you've got in your life now is going to be just kind of pushed aside. And you're going to say, Lord, I'm a little bit nervous now, but I want to give you my life. I want to release my life into your hands. I want to let go and let Jesus have everything. That's a lot easier said than done. I've been there. I've all my life. By the way, something I do oftentimes, and I think you may think I'm a little bit weird on this, but I like to go over the salvation plan. I do it often. I just go over the salvation plan. I look in the Bible. I get the scriptures. And I don't know why exactly I do that. It's not like I'm doubting it. But it seems to affirm something in me. Like Jesus died for my sins. And when I see the word that His blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness, it's all over the New Testament. It's all over the place. When your eyes catch that verse, it's like you're reminded once again that somehow the blood that was shed nearly, probably 2,000 years ago now, by, if we get the date correctly, about the birth of Jesus and His life. But whatever, it's either right at 2,000 or near, very close to 2,000 years. That blood back then has power today. Oh, explain that to me, Mr. Positive. Well, I can't. That's my positive answer. I cannot explain how that blood can do that. But when I read it, I'm encouraged again. I think, yes, we're on the right track. We're not on the wrong way. We're not going down a path. You know, there's only one leader at the University of Arizona. Somebody's in charge of the place. There's not about 500 of them or anybody that chooses. I choose that leader. Let him or her be the leader there at the U of A. They try that, you're not going to get there. So we believe in one God, namely the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's what we believe. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, okay, shed His life's blood. Remember the guy, the Roman soldier, took the spear to the side? Out came water and blood. There's a reason behind that. But every ounce of blood in the Lord Jesus was removed from his body. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. So I look at that every once in a while. That's submitting yourself to the Lord. You submit. Okay, God, whatever you want to do. A lot I could say there. And that's found also in James chapter 4, verse 7, if you're copying notes. Three more ideas. Trust in the Lord with all your strength. You probably know where that's coming from. Those of you who know your Bibles. Proverbs. Huh? Oh, you got it. You won the award. Yes. A free trip to Disneyland. Yes. Those of you who didn't know we're handing out free gifts would have for sure answered that question. Yes. All right. Trust in the Lord with all your strength. This is going to go down to this area that we are saying to the Lord, we're trying to test God. It's not trusting when you're testing. You're going to test God. I'll see. And some people think they're going to put God in a corner and throw him up against a wall and get him to perform his word. That is crazy. But I hear it so often from preachers. He says, claim your word, you know, and then claim your car. Name your car. I'll take a Toyota. I'll take a 1977 Toyota. That's not good enough. You got to claim a 2018 Toyota. Okay, 2018 Toyota. What do you want in it? I want it to be the best one they have. What's the fancy name for Toyotas? It's not Acura. It's another one. What is it? Maybe. Lexus. Who said that? You get the prize. You have to now. Sorry. The best one you have. I want that Lexus. Oh, I'm going to believe God for the Lexus. I have to visualize that in my head. Now it's a Lexus. It's all shiny steel in my front yard. There it is. I'm going to believe God. And you open my eyes and all I see up my front yard are weeds. Talking about Tennessee when we used to have grass. And then I would say, okay, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. And it gets really crazy. And you start thinking, what is all this about? Is this what I can get? You know, Lord, you know, I want all this stuff. Come on, Lord, hand it over. You know, you made a claim to it. You were going to... No. He is sovereign God. We are created. Period. The created cannot say to the creator, why, I'll give you the King James, okay? Why hast thou made me thus? You know what that means? Why have you made me this way? You cannot look in the mirror, and according to the Bible, you just cannot say, I wish I was somebody else. I don't like who I am. And that's not what God wants you to say. You know what He wants you to say? I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Woohoo! That's who I am. And that's the one that God sees. So, that deals with this whole idea. Do not test God. Don't think that God is a great big Santa Claus and going to give you everything you want. And I've given you my stories before, and they're as weird as they sound, they happen to be true for me because I just live in a weird world for myself. But I just thought God was this great big giver. In fact, I'll share this again with you. The day of my salvation, when I said the prayer, you know the sinner's prayer? And I bowed my head and I was shaking like a leaf and I went through the whole prayer and then now she said, okay, go, you're now a believer, you're a Christian. I said, oh good. And the truth was I felt exactly the same before as I did at that moment. So nothing really changed. Except I decided to go down to the bowling alley because I was into bowling in those days. And if you know anything about bowling, the number 300 is a perfect score. And anything over 200 is a great score. And I thought I was going to go there and I was going to throw at least a 250. And I went down because I'm now a Christian. Hey, the world is, this is a great place to live. I'm alive in Jesus' name. I go down there and I start bowling like I did any other time. My score was around 130. With the great vision that I wanted to be a professional bowler, which was never going to happen. I don't even know what happened to bowling. It's kind of gone out now. But anyway, trust the Lord with all your strength. Proverbs 3:5. Another scripture right there. Lean not to your own understanding. All right? Don't lean on yourself. Another scripture. Lean on God's mercy. This all deals with this whole idea of submitting and not to test God and not to treat God's patience like it'll last forever. Amen. So finally, number 5, and I've gone through 4 of these. Walk worthy of your call. And that one is found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Walk worthy of your call, your vocation, your purpose in life. And if you don't know what that is, you just keep on submitting to God. It'll come in. It'll come in like a flood. It'll begin to show you. That's the purpose. I had no idea 3 months ago, and I got my eye on the clock, so hang on now. You know, lunch is coming. Next week is a potluck, so we'll just start thinking about food right now. Just kidding, don't do that. Where was I going?
Walk worthy of your call.
Walk worthy of your call. You know, this is one of those...
3 months ago.
3 months ago. keep talking. 3 months ago. Ah, thank you. Thank you. 3 months ago, once upon a time, I had no idea, you guys, of the ministry that God would give to me. None at all. My vision and ministry was so different than what God ever planned. And it was so different. You can ask my wife, for years I dreamed of pastoring a big church. Lots of people. Because God wants us to have people. And that never happened. In fact, I could hardly break 50. And I was so disappointed. Like all the other pastors I knew were like 150, 200, 250. Somehow or another, we always talk about numbers, you know. And I'd hear them like in a big meeting. And so-and-so is now pastoring the church. He started with 21 people. Now he's way up to 2,000. And everybody goes, yay! And I go, Because I said, why can't I do that, Lord? Time goes by. My heart is really wanting something different. But here's the catch. And you have to believe me for this. I'm going to share it with you right now, here and now. My call was not to be the lead pastor. Now, I gave it 30 years. You think I would have learned after 3 months? I gave it all this time. And I kept wondering, why am I not happy? I'm miserable. And I would talk to other pastors, and it was like, yeah, well, we're all in this together. It's a fight. It's a battle, you know. I say, something is missing. Okay, I'm going to get to the end of my story. 3 months ago, I'm out driving, and I'm driving Uber and a company called Vail, Medical Transport Company. And all of a sudden, I'm getting people in my car that I'm witnessing to out of nowhere, just happening. Like, we get up talking about Jesus, and boom, we're talking about the Lord. And then pretty soon, I'm meeting people that want prayer. So I get people that want prayer. And so then pretty soon I start thinking to myself, okay, prayer, I'm going to pray for you. And I said, then I'll get, do you mind if I pray for you? And they always, and every time they say, no, I don't mind. I get into these discussions. And so Julie, 3 months ago, Julie says to me, why don't you think of that as your ministry? Ding! She says, do you like driving? I said, I love driving. You like talking to people? Yes! Do you like talking about the Lord? Yes! Then why don't you use that as your ministry? And then it came to me. Of course. Whatever God gives, I had it planned so different. Why did it take me so long? I don't know. So let me just bring this to your attention. I'm going to wrap it up now in 1 minute. Well, 1 minute and 30 seconds. I promise. My point of this message, I'm going to give this to you in a sentence. As we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, love Him with all our might and strength, submit unto Him with a hunger for righteousness, and finally lean on God to strengthen your call, will we be more positive and upbeat. This is a very positive place, and you're in it right now. I'm going to give you three things that's going to take the enemy down every time. This is no super duper here, but I'm telling you, three things will take the devil down every time. You ready? Love, acceptance, and forgiveness. He will never want to be around you when you're going to love everybody. He doesn't want to be around you when you're accepting people into your circle. He doesn't want anything to do with forgiveness. Anything that's God, He's the exact opposite. Because he rebelled against God. He has no love in his heart for you whatsoever. There's no such thing in the enemy to have love for you at all. Period. He doesn't know what love is. God removed that from him when he rebelled against God. And God kicked him out of heaven. So if we would use these three weapons. Love, acceptance, forgiveness. And I'm going to preach on that one of these days. We will take this town for Jesus. Not through any fancy preaching. Not some great big meeting, but just on the ground every day, things that we're going to do. You're going to love everybody. You're going to accept everybody. You're going to forgive everybody. And but the Bible says if you don't forgive, then your Father in heaven will not forgive you. So there's a huge lesson there. All right, I'm done. 3 months ago, I'm glad I remembered what that was. Amen. Hey, we're having a good time here, right? Are you? You want to stand up? Yes, stand up. I know we have some things to do in the end. I never follow the order very good. I know there's a song, and then I do something else, and then there's something else. But I want to pray for you shortly. So if the group will come, and let's have a closing song, and then I'll bring it to a close.